Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics. And due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the heart of liberal Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Best friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Now here are your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, we are sliding into the Wednesday 4 o'clock happy hour, and I'm happy to announce my congressman, our friend, Mark Pocan, is joining us right from the top. We welcome him back. Mark Pocan, welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. So glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, Mark, we appreciate you joining us. I understand you are in the district, or at least in the state of Wisconsin. You made a recent trip to Fort McCoy, and you observed the Afghan refugees there. And I understand we've got somewhere between 7,000 and 9,000, Mark. What can you tell our audience about what's going on at Fort McCoy?
Well, you know, Fort McCoy is one of the three or four, I guess, four facilities that were doing intake to bring Afghan refugees here to make sure that, you know, we can help those folks who've helped us, the United States, be able to, one, be safe from any retribution by the Taliban, but two, to now be a part of the United States. And, you know, they're going to be able to hold up to 13,000 people. They're very, very close to maximum capacity right now at the facility. But things are going extremely well. I think as early as potentially this weekend, some people will start phasing out of there to actually go into communities. But, you know, we had a chance to dispel a lot of the myths that some of our Republican brothers, I would say brothers and sisters, but I don't know if there are many, very many Republican women in Wisconsin who are part of the establishment that went on the tour there. But it really was good to see the people that have helped our country and helped make sure that our service members overseas were safe, that we're now doing something to help them and their families.
Mark, your congressional colleague, Ron Kind from the La Crosse area, who was on the tour, my understanding, described the extreme vetting that happened with these refugees. Can you assure the audience that these people have been vetted, Mark?
Yeah, you know, we asked lots of questions, and especially about any red flag folks. And, you know, over and over, we've been told that's not a problem. You know, there are the best answer they could give us were many hundreds of people who directly helped the U.S. government. They and their families are now being relocated. But, you know, there's a considerable vetting process. There's vaccinations. In fact, stunningly, only one person out of almost a capacity number of people at Fort McCoy have turned down a COVID vaccine. I wish we had anything like that in this country for a vaccination rate. But, you know, they're very appreciative. We're appreciative of what they did for our country over the last number of years. And I think that, you know, this is going to turn out to be something that ultimately not only is helping the people who helped us, but as Ron also mentioned, it's important to signal to other countries where we may need help that we have to do this right to show that the United States is a credible, honest broker should we need their help in the future.
Mark, you talked about transitioning these Afghanistani refugees to local communities, perhaps. We know some of that happened back in the 1980s with the Cuban refugees that were also housed at Fort McCoy. But I've heard, you know, the bemoanment of conservatives that these refugees are allowed to leave base without prior consent of the base commander. Mark, is there any concern about moving these refugees into the community, to your opinion, sir?
So first of all, some of the previous comments by some of my Republican colleagues misinformed. So let me see if I can dispel some of the myths. first of all, you can't just come and go as you please, as has been said by, I think, Tom Tiffany. If you leave, as far as they're concerned, you're gone, unless, with a few exceptions, that people realize that they left too early and they may help bring them back in to assimilate. But it is not an open door policy there. Also, I believe Tom Tiffany said that none of those folks work for the U.S. government. And that also is another, well, let's just call it a lie, because it is. There are literally scores of people who work for the embassy and in other capacities directly for the U.S. government. But many hundreds, as their words, and I said, can I say hundreds, if not thousands? And they said, yes, of people who did work with us in a number of other capacities. So, you know, these are folks who, if it wasn't for them, we may have had more loss of military personnel in Afghanistan. We owe it to them to protect them now from the Taliban. And, you know, to try to make this something, a political issue, just because you want Joe Biden to look bad, I'm sorry. I don't think we can do that. You know, when it comes to refugees, we have a different standard in this country. You know, we're a nation really of immigrants. And I think, you know, these folks are folks that we owe an obligation to.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Congressman Mark Polkan from the great state of Wisconsin joining us on the phone. Mark, it's great to speak with you once again. Crudy and I have been talking today, some recent polling out on the president and his performance with regards to the withdrawal of Afghanistan. He's taken a hit on his approval ratings, specifically from independents. Mark, are you concerned politically at all on what's been going on in the way in which we withdraw from Afghanistan, coming up on the midterms?
So the American public, by a 2-to-1 margin, think we should have got out of Afghanistan, right? And that was the big decision that the president made. Had we perhaps started getting people out earlier, you wouldn't have had some of the visuals. But I think at the end of the day, some of these visuals were going to happen no matter what president did it, which is why other administrations kind of let things go by. You know, Department of Defense gave overly rosy projections of what was going on, I think, to administration after administration. And Joe Biden made a very tough but necessary decision that's supported by 2/3 of the public. Now, you know, people see some of the visuals and that's having an impact on his ratings right now. But I think down the road, people will realize you can't just go into a country, try to do nation building, try to make them all of a sudden have Dunkin' Donuts and Disneylands when they're as different as a country like Afghanistan is. And why hopefully we won't do this without really solid reasoning in the future. But, you know, this was a Dick Cheney, George Bush failed mission in many ways from the beginning by the definition of the mission. And I think Joe Biden did the right thing. And I think people will continue to look back and see that ultimately that decision was the right decision.
Congressman, some of the reporting on the amount of money spent nation building in Afghanistan, $150 million to $300 million a day for 20 years. The Pentagon budget, pretty big, Mark. I know you've advocated for perhaps slicing some of that off and reallocating those funds. What would you like to see done, Congressman?
Well, you know, I think the definition of defense should be broader than just defense contractors and private contractors that often see most of that defense budget or much of the defense budget. We need to look at what was the biggest security, national security threat in the last year and a half in this country? It was COVID-19. So we should be considering under that definition of defense things like pandemics, things like climate change that we're seeing across the country right now in very visible ways, things like cyber attacks. All of those issues should be in the defense of the country. And I think we should be redirecting more dollars from just weapons systems and bombs to things that really defend people. And I think that's one of our real efforts that you're going to see continue in the next year. You know, we realize that in many ways, the military industrial complex is large and vast, and they're in everyone's districts. And people are often spooked to cut spending on a top line level. But I think if we could maybe start redirecting those dollars to other purposes, that might be the best thing that we could do. Things that really do defend us, like pandemics and climate change and cyber attacks.
Mark Polkan, our fine guest, for a few more minutes. Mark, obviously, we're all aware of the new anti-abortion law that's now the law of the land in the state of Texas. We saw the U.S. Supreme Court, hands off, allow this law to go into effect, contrary to Roe v. Wade. My understanding is Speaker Nancy Pelosi is trying to codify Roe v. Wade legislatively, But Mark, even if it gets through the House, I have real questions about her or anyone's ability, Chuck Schumer or otherwise, to push it through the U.S. Senate. So, Mark, what's that leave us to provide reproductive choices for women? If you can't do it legislatively, you know, are we back to considering rebalancing or packing the U.S. Supreme Court?
So first of all, I mean, I think it's just important to note we've spent all this time trying to keep the Taliban in check in Afghanistan, and now we've got the Taliban Texas style running rampant in the United States. And, you know, these kind of laws really are more reminiscent of the Taliban than anything that, you know, America's about, telling a majority of the population that they don't have the ability or the legal ability to make decisions about their lives. You know, this is going to take a lot of grassroots, I think, efforts, especially in states like Texas. But, you know, Nancy said she wants to take a vote up in the House. I can never speak for the Senate because I don't belong to the Senate where they have this crazy filibuster in place. But we need to at least make that statement and have the debate and let people know that what they're doing is wrong. It's treating over half the population as if they're not equals. And, you know, we have a couple of these governors who are competing to be the next Donald Trump, and that's all this is about. But a lot of women are going to be hurt because of this.
Well, they've always been social wedge issues, and I've always wondered if Republicans shouldn't be careful what they wish for. Mark, do you think they've awoken a sleeping electoral giant? Do you think young women, old women, all women, people that love women will come out and vote big in the midterms?
I hope so. I mean, they have to realize, I think we're going to have to make a strong comparison to what the contrast is, that if our folks aren't motivated and their folks are, that this is the type of laws they won't just do in Texas, but they'll do in Wisconsin and they'll do in states across the country. You already have Wisconsin legislators talking about this kind of stuff. And since these days, everyone's trying to outright each other in the Republican Party so they can get Donald Trump's praise via whatever way he communicates these days, it's sad. And we have to realize that's a very real reality of what could happen.
Mark Pocan, tomorrow Rebecca Clayfish will announce her gubernatorial campaign. Do you have any doubt she would sign that sort of legislation into law here?
Oh, I think she would sign that and a whole lot of other things. She's a social conservative at heart, and that's not where the people of Wisconsin are. I'll predict right now Tony's going to be reelected governor, and that's a good thing.
You heard it here first from our good friend Mark Pocan, Congressman. Thank you so much for coming around on the Devil's Advocates today. We'll talk real soon, sir.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Phone lines open, 844-967-2789.